Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord because he's brought us together once again today. And I pray the Lord will impact every life in Jesus' name. The ministers' professional conference that we had on Friday, we're having today, and by the grace of God tomorrow, we'll conclude. One is transmitted to the whole of Nigeria. All the states, all the local governments are receiving the message. And so I want to plead with those who minister, like you minister in songs and other things, let's minister in English so that the people all over will hear, will benefit from what we're doing. Praise the Lord. Actually, we're transmitting to about 150 countries. And so, as we minister, let's be conscious of the fact that many people are outside there and they're listening to us, so that we'll be of tremendous benefit to everyone. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. And today, as we come, we're going to look at Psalm 27. I know that these psalms are familiar with them. But all the same, as the Spirit of God takes us out of where we are to where we ought to be, the power, the inspiration, and the goodness of God revealed in these psalms will come into your life and ministry in Jesus' name. Let's lift our voice to the Lord and pray. I want you to pray and say, Lord, today, everything you have for me. No, I don't mean you repeat what I'm saying. I mean that you should pray for yourself that everything God has for you today, the Lord will fulfill in your life in Jesus' name. Raise up your voice and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I don't want to come here empty-handed. I want everything you've got for me to be mine today. Your personal life, your family, your ministry. God has a lot for you, and he wants you to key in to everything he has provided and everything he wants to do. Yes, that's prayer. All of us online, pray and say, Lord, today I want to possess, I want to be a partaker of everything you have for me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you today. We bless your name. This is the day you have made. We'll be glad and rejoice in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. You've called us to the ministry, called us to a profession, called us for the stage and titles and the place in life you have put us. We're asking, oh Lord, that you support all your ministers, all your servants, all the professionals in Jesus' name. And we pray that in our lives your name will be glorified, and the work you have given us to do will prosper in Jesus' name. All our people online, everywhere, I pray, Lord, you visit everyone specially in a very unique way today in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You can sit down. Today, as we come to the ministers and professional conference, we're coming to one of the Psalms. On Friday, we dealt with Psalm 23. And today, we're looking at Psalm 27. Look at Psalm 27, open your Bible. Psalm 27, reading from verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life." And then it says, "Of whom shall I be afraid?" In verse 2, it says, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and they fell." They will stumble. They will fall. Take the sailor, take the pause, meditate on what you have heard. Let's meditate on what we have heard already, that the Lord himself will lift you up. Yeah. I will make all the intention of any enemy in your life, all those intentions paralyzed in Jesus' name. In your life, in your ministry, in all your endeavors, and everything you set your hand upon will prosper in Jesus' name. Keep on meditating on the fact that what the Lord has for you, what he has ordained for you, he will fulfill. I said he will fulfill. And whatever comes in the way, the Lord will open the way for you. He'll open his door into blessing, his door into all the possibilities of your life. That mountain you will climb, that peak you will reach there, and the power of the Lord will take you from where you are and get you to where you will be and also ordained for you in Jesus' name. As a man, as a woman, as a professional, as a minister, as everyone and anyone called of God, the Lord will fulfill the purpose of the call in your life in Jesus' name. Now, it tells us in verse 3, it says, "Though an host should encamp against me," against you, "your heart will not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident." And then it tells us in verse 4, it says in verse 4, "One thing have I desired, I set my face, I set my focus, I set my face like a flint, and that one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And then in verse 6, it tells us, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle the sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And then in verse 7, it says, hear me, O Lord, when I cry, when I pray, when I call, and when I beseech the throne of grace. Hear my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. And then in verse 8 it says, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Verse 9, it says, hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. In verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Amen. Verse 11 tells us, it says, teach me thy way, O Lord, lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Verse 12, it says, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Verse 13, I had fainted, I would have fainted, unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And in your life, everything he has ordained, everything he has prophesied in your life, the goodness of the Lord, the prosperity of the Lord, and the provision of the Lord, you will not faint, you will see in Jesus' name. Amen. Then in verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart, wait, I say, on the Lord. That's the psalm we're looking at. And I pray that the Lord grant us revelation, amen, inspiration, amen, instruction, amen, that everything he has for us in this beautiful day, he will provide in every life in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm talking to you from this psalm on the transformed partakers of his all sustaining strength. Strength he has to sustain you, to succor you, to support you, and to keep you on top of the mountain. All sustaining strength. And then the people who become the partakers, the transformed partakers of his all sustaining strength. We're looking at three subtitles in the message today. Number one, our great confidence in his pavilion, in his secret habitation. We come to him, and the more we abide in him, the more we stay with him, the more we seek his face, the more courage, the more confidence, and the more strength he gives unto us. our great confidence in his pavilion, in his secret habitation. Number two is a glorious consecration with purposeful, submissive humility. Is glorious, the glorious consecration. We come to the Lord and we sacrifice our praise, we sacrifice everything, our gift unto him, and we lay everything upon the altar. The glorious consecration with purposeful, submissive humility. Number three is the good courage of prayerful, strengthened hearts. As we come in the presence of the Lord, he strengthens us in the inner man. He gives us strength, spiritual strength, and that spiritual strength that he gives us grants us courage, the courage to be, the courage to do, and the courage to walk in the path that he has set for us. The good courage of prayerful, strengthened hearts. Let's look at number one. Number one is our great confidence in his pavilion, in his secret habitation. There are three things we're looking at here. Number one, we're looking at the fresh perception of salvation through conversion. Number two, the fixed possession of strength and confidence. Number three, the focused pursuit of servants for his cause. Look at number one. Number one, the fresh perception of salvation through conversion. It tells us in Psalm 27, reading from verse 1. In Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. A time comes in the life of everyone that he understands he needs God. Not only that he needs God once in a while, like you go to the restaurant to eat and you take that once in a while. No, you come to him and you want to live in his habitation, and you turn away from every form of sin, transgression, iniquity and evil, and you have your faith in the Lord, and then the Lord becomes your salvation, your savior, and he saves you. He saves you from the past. It saves you from your weakness. It saves you from everything that weakened you and brought you down. And it lifts you up. And now you have a new life because you become a new creature in Christ. It says, the Lord is my light and he is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Before you came to the Lord, you feared idols, you feared demons, you feared occultic power, you feared principalities and powers. But now, the highest in the universe, the most holy God, has brought you to himself. You become a child of God, and all the fears of your life, they're driven away. So you can say, the Lord is my light, and he is my salvation. It says, of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. That he is your life. Although you might have been weak before, you came to the Lord, but now you came to the Lord and he has strengthened your heart. He gave you salvation. He gave you a new life. And it says, you say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? As we look at the Lord, number one, he is our savior. Number two, he is our strength. He's the one that strengthens us so that the journey ahead of us will go through that journey and will go through victoriously in Jesus' name. Number three, he is our circle. It's our support. It's the one that says, I'll support you. I will succor you. I will lift you up. No matter what you go through in your Christian journey, in your ministerial journey, in your professional journey, I am your salvation. I am your strength. I am your succor. He is our supply. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Your salvation, your strength, your succor, and he is your supplier. He supplies everything, all the strength you will need for the journey, all the provision you will need for the journey. He is the one who succors you. Number five is our sanctifier. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You come to him and you bring your heart. Already he has forgiven your sin. Now, when we talk about sin, it's like if you picture a tree, there are branches, and those branches are the external sins and transgressions that we have committed. At the point of salvation, all those branches are cut off, and so now the place is clear, but the root of that tree is still there. And if the root remains there without being dealt with, the dew will come, the rain will come, sunshine will come, and vicissitudes of life will come, and they come on that tree, the branches will come up again. The thing you do to get rid of that tree completely is to uproot, is to root out the roots there. And when they are taken off, that's like sanctification, that he now roots out the very root of sin out of your life. Externally you are free, internally you are free, and you can say, the Lord is my sanctifier, and the Lord is also your substitute. He has taken all the judgment that shall come upon you, all the attacks you are about to carry. He says, I'll carry it for you. There is somebody by your side. His name is Jesus, Savior, substitute. And everything you carry, he will carry for you. And the Lord, number seven, is your shepherd. And you never forget, he is my Savior, he is my salvation, he is my strength, he is my succor, he is my supplier, he is my sanctifier, he is my substitute, and he is my shepherd. And with that knowledge of God, you can go on and move on and say, the Lord is all in all for me, he is my sufficiency. And because he is my sufficiency, everything will be all right. Look at Psalm 24. I'm reading from verse 5. In Psalm 24 verse 5, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. It's because we are saved that now righteousness comes into our lives, uprightness comes into our lives, and we're able to live the way he wants us to live. Isaiah chapter 62, I'm reading from verse 1. It says in Isaiah 62, reading from verse 1, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Have you seen the connection between the righteousness and the salvation? The salvation and the righteousness. That the connection God makes in our lives. When we experience in a practical way the salvation of the Lord. How do I get that now under the new covenant? Romans chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 9. In Romans chapter 10 verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the Lordship of Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Give me a good amen. Amen. And then in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Righteousness in that verse, salvation in that verse. When we are saved, there is righteousness. When we are saved, there is the turning around of our lives, that the lives we used to live, we don't live that life anymore. The life of unrighteousness in the past and the life of ungodliness of the past. When we come to the Lord and we're born again and we're saved, it says there is righteousness that comes along with the salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's come to number two here. Number two is the fixed possession of strength and confidence. It tells us in that Psalm 27, reading from verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light, no darkness on my path again, because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Then in verse 2 it says, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. Amen. And then in verse 3 it says, though an host should encamp against me. The king David now is talking about the enemy and the army of enemies, and not just one Saul against him, not just one Doeg against him, not just one Philistine against him. It says the whole camp and the whole battalion of enemies, though an host should encamp against me, it says my heart shall not fear. Why? Because God is my salvation, because God is my strength, and because God is my succor and my support, and because it says God, who is over all and above all, more powerful than all, he is on my side, is my shepherd and is protecting me. It says because of that, my heart shall not fear. Actually, fear comes through the heart to the rest of the body. When the heart is afraid, the heart first will get afraid, and then it will affect your voice. It will affect what you see. It will be pouring out the tears of sorrow and the tears of expected suffering. When the heart is afraid, it affects the hand. The hand is weak. You cannot hold, you cannot carry. When the heart is afraid, it affects your feet, and the feet cannot run the race that is set before you. It starts from the heart. And so the psalmist said, I'll not worry about my hand, I'll not worry about the feet, I'll not worry about any other thing, I'll be concerned about my heart. And he says, when they rise against me, actually, you've heard, the lion comes like a roaring personality. Why does the lion roar? The lion roars because he wants, lunch. He wants supper. He wants dinner. And he roars so that the voice of the roaring will terrify the animals. And those who could run to escape his grip, they can't run because the roaring has brought fear. And the devil, like a roaring lion, if you become afraid, you might become the candidate for his dinner. You will not become a candidate for anybody's dinner. That's why it says, though all that rises up against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Somebody who has been reading the word, drinking the word, assimilating the word, meditating on the word, it's the word that brings faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when faith comes in, fear has to come out. And as you take in the word, you feed on the word, and you have a confidence in the Lord, every problem in your life gone in Jesus' name. And look at Psalm 118. I'm reading from verse 6. In Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. Say that for yourself. Look at this. Let's picture Satan standing there, and you, a child of God, son, daughter of God, saint of God, and Satan is there, and the son of God, a child of God, is there, and the Lord is coming, and Satan is there, the son is there, the daughter is there. On which side will God go? On your side. You are there, and then an enemy is there, or enemies are there, or it can't be, host of enemies are there, and God comes now and looks at two sides. On which side will he be? on your side. And if the creator of the heavens and the earth, and if the Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of everyone born again who is saved and is now in the family, if the Lord is on your side, you are an overcomer already. Amen. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. Look at that word will there. That will, it's your choice. It's your choice. If the lion roars, it's your choice. Think about God, you'll not fear. Think about his promise, you'll not fear. Think about all his provision for you, and you'll not fear. You stay, you stand at the center of the will of God, and you check up, where am I? I'm at the center of the will of God. What am I doing here? I'm obeying God here. And will God support anyone obeying him? The answer is yes. All right, if that is the case, I will not fear. Say that for yourself. It says, what can man do unto me? What can man do unto me? It's like saying, here I am. I know Goliath is tall, lanky, strong. He's been a warrior from his youth. What can man? It's mere man. They call him Goliath, but he's man. And what can Saul do unto me? They call him Saul, but he is man. And when you understand that your enemy is contending with the Almighty God, there will be no fear in your heart. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, the Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. And then it says in verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, reading there from verse 6, it says, so that we may boldly say, we may courageously say, we may heartily say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Then in verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday on the stormy sea, the Lord is still the same. At the crossroad, the Lord is still the same. And when there's any affliction, when there is any infirmity, when there's any sickness, when there's any demonic attack, the Lord is still the same. It said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever in your life, in Jesus' name. In Ephesians chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 14. Ephesians 3, 14, it says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 15, it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 16 says, that he would grant you. Are you there? He'll grant you. He'll grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. That's what we need, is that strength of the inner man, the strength in our spirit, the strength in our heart that we need. And once that strength is there, it will take you through. The Lord will take me through. I'll take you through in Jesus' name. We come to number 3 here. Number 3 is the focused pursuit of servants for his cause. It tells us in Psalm 27, reading from verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That's what David desired. One thing. Moses, had a certain desire to take the children of Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness and take them to the promised land. One thing have I desired, Joshua had, the one thing that he desired, to lead the children of God and the children of Israel into the land of Canaan and to possess the land and to divide the land. One thing have I desired. Isaiah had the one thing he desired, that the revelation of God will come to him and he'll give that revelation to the people of God. John the Baptist had one desire. I have a calling. The Lord had called me to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the heart of the father to the children. Everyone God calls, he gives a principal work. He gives a work that is purposeful. And everyone should be able to say, like David said, I know what the Lord has called me for. And I know what I desire. And I know what I am aiming for. And he said, one thing have I desired. Paul the apostle had the one thing he desired. I've revealed myself unto you for this purpose. Not to fight Goliath, that was for David, and not to have the land of Canaan, that was for Joshua. But in the case of Paul, he had the one thing. And you, that God has called you into the ministry, you must have the one thing, the one thing, the one thing. And you don't allow anything to shake you out of that one thing. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Look at verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. Somebody say yes. He will. I said he will. In the time of trouble for Moses, because he was after that one thing, the Lord protected him. Pharaoh said, you'll not see my face again. The day you see my face again, you will die. And did he die from Pharaoh? No, because the Lord will hide you in his pavilion. Look at Joshua. All those countries had a confederacy against him. They wanted to take him off the land of the living. No, they could not. In fact, he was the one that overcame them, and you will overcome. And the case of David, look at David and Goliath said, you come to me, am I a dog? You come to me with a sling and a stone. I will feed the birds of the air with your flesh. No, he couldn't do that. David overcame. You will overcome. Look at Paul the apostle. Paul the apostle, 40 people, they bound themselves in an oath and they said, we will not eat anything until we kill Paul. We can't hear about them anymore. They've gone to the other side forever and ever. But Paul the apostle, he said, the Lord shall preserve me from every evil. The Lord will preserve you from every evil. When you have the course of the Lord, the way of the Lord, the assignment of the Lord, the appointment of the Lord, and you make your mind to stay on that thing, anywhere you go, everywhere you go, the Lord will protect you. Look at Philippians chapter 3 verse 13. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Paul the apostle, it says, this one thing I do. And if you can come to that, identify why the Lord has called you, identify what the Lord has called you for, and you say, this one thing I do. Imitation will come from here and from there, distraction will come from here and from there, and some offer will come from there and there, but you say, this one thing I do. You identify what the Lord has called you for. You identify what the Lord has strengthened you for. You identify what the Lord has prepared you for, and you are able to say, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Look at verse 14. It says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's how we overcome, and that's how we make progress. You will make progress. But you must be a man, a woman of one thing, concentration. There's something we call prism. Many of us know that. It's a glass block that has three surfaces and three angles. And then when the sun is shining, the rays of the sun will scatter everywhere and may not burn anything. But you put that prism near a sheet of paper, and then the rays come, and the rays of the sun concentrate on one point, then it makes a burning in that paper. When everything you've got, your skill, your training, your expertise, your prayer and your desire and your resources and your finance, you put it on this one thing, your life and the people that work with you, you put on this one thing, it's like all the rays coming through the prism, you will make a mark in the world. You'll make a mark through your ministry. It says, I press forward, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Look at Acts chapter 20, reading from verse 24. Acts 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And I pray that staying power that is able to focus on the one thing the Lord has called you to, that staying, stabilizing, solid, supporting power, the Lord will grant unto you in Jesus' name. We come to point number two now. Point number two, we're looking at the glorious consecration with purposeful, submissive humility. We're looking at Psalm 27, and I'm reading from verse 6. It says, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. It says, those enemies around about me, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle the sacrifices of joy. That is, when I come to sacrifice to the Lord, I do that with joy. I come to sing, I do that with joy. I come to preach, I do that with joy. I come to offer any service to the Lord, I do that with excitement, with happiness, and with joy. And then he says, I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. In verse 7, it says, hear, O Lord, when I cry, when I pray, when I make supplication with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. He will answer you. And then in verse 8, it says, when thou says, seek my face, he had the commandment from the Lord. And the Lord said, you know what you have to do, David? Seek my face. My heart responded immediately, and my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I see. Then in verse 9, it says, hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger, thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O Lord, the God of my salvation. And then in verse 10, it says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Yeah. When helpers forsake you, when supporters forsake you, then the Lord will take you up. Three things we're looking at. Number one, offering sacrifices with joy to the Lord. Offering sacrifices with joy to the Lord. Number two, obeying and seeking as justified people the face of the Lord. As justified people, you're obeying and seeking the face of the Lord. Number three, obtaining succor, obtaining support, obtaining help, obtaining sustaining power, obtaining succor for the just from the Lord. We're looking at number one, offering sacrifices with joy to the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You present your body a living sacrifice. What does that mean? How can I do that? Can I just go somewhere and say, God, are you there? I bring my body and I present my body before you as a living sacrifice. Not really. How do you do that? You come to the Lord in your prayer, in your consecration, in your devotion. You say, Lord, I consecrate my eyes unto you, and my eyes will not behold anything contrary to your will. I present my ears unto you. My ears will not hear anything polluting that will be contrary to your will. I present my tongue, my mouth, my voice unto you, and my voice will never sing or say anything contrary to your word. I present my feet unto you, and my feet will never go anywhere contrary to your revelation, your word, your will. I present my hands unto you, and my hands will never write anything, do anything that is contrary to your word and to the way of holiness. You bring your body as a living sacrifice unto God, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then in verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we're looking at verse 15. It says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. What does that mean? Sacrifice of praise to the Lord continually. There are times the body doesn't feel like rising up, but I need to go there, so I must rise up. There are times the voice does not feel like singing unto the Lord. I have that challenge, I have that challenge, and I have that predicament, I have that pressure. I'm looking for where this and that will come in so I can take care of my family. The bodies are there, that the voice appears not ready to sing, but it says, I will offer sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. It says in verse 16, it says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, deception, lying and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. It says in verse 2 that we as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Verse 3, it says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 4, in verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Verse 5 now talks about the sacrifice. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, righteous priesthood, just priesthood, obedient priesthood, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We come to number 2 here. Number 2, obeying and seeking has justified the face of the Lord. It says in Psalm 27 verse 8, when thou said, seek my face, when you commanded, seek my face, when you gave the order, seek my face, immediately my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Then in verse 9, hide not thy face far from me, but put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been mine help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. The psalmist always remembered, is the God of my salvation, is the God of my strength, is the God my succor, is the God my supplier, is the God my sanctifier, he is the God my sustainer, and he is the God my shepherd. And because he always remembered that he belonged personally unto God, he said, I will obey him. He has commanded me, seek my face. And my heart said, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Look at Psalm 63 verse 1. In Psalm 63 verse 1, O God, thou art my God, and early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And then in verse 2, it says, to see thy power. I seek your face so that I can see your power, I can see your glory, I can see your sustaining power and your staying power in my life, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Colossians chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then in verse 2, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. He's saying he has called us. He wants us to behold his glory and to behold his power. He wants us to behold his majesty. And he's so vast like the heavens. And we have not exhausted seeing and seeking the glory and the might and the power of God. It says you don't have time to seek the things of this world, running after the rats, what running after the squirrel or whatever, and running after the bats and all the things of the world. Look up, because the glory of God is there, and he wants you to seek him and discover his power and his glory. And he says, search your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. In verse 3 it says, for ye are dead to the things of the world, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Then in verse 4 it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. And somebody says, amen. Amen. We're coming to number 3 here. Number 3, obtaining succor, obtaining support, obtaining help for the just from the Lord. In Psalm 27 verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, why would they forsake me? Maybe they are worshiping idols. And then I've come to say, I've discovered that Jesus is Savior, and there is no other Savior but Him. But Daddy says, the family idol you'll worship. I said, no. I thought I could do that before. I cannot do that now, because I've given my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the father and the mother might say, okay, if that is your decision, go and find whatever you have for support in life, go and find it when my father and my mother forsake me. When we get to our places of work in our profession, there are fathers and mothers, and the people, when we get in there, they say, boy, come in here, I've been here for a long time. This is how we do this here, this is how we do this here, and this is how we perpetrate corruption, and you know, all that. And because, you know, salary alone will not do. We cannot depend on that alone. And then you look at him, you say, sir, with all due respect, I'm born again. I'm a child of God, and my life has become totally new, and I cannot do that. What? Are we pagans? We too are Christians. We too have the Bible. If you come to my house, you'll see the big Bible, the pulpit Bible, and the small Bible, and even Bible on my phone. Am I a pagan? I'm telling you that this is what we do here. You still say, sir, I'm sorry, I'm not saying you're a pagan. I'm not saying you're idol worship, but I am saying I have known the Lord. Anybody known the Lord there? Born again there? And I have made up my mind, I will not do that. When you're a student in a college, in a university, or anywhere, and then you see what the other students are doing, they want this, they want this, or maybe you've been born again, and you come to the college, and so people, they come to welcome you, they say, come, come, come. Over here, we have this group, we have this gang, we have this, we have that, and the one I belong to, the one I belong to this, come and join this. You say, thank you. And they are the people that welcome you to college. They are the people that help you to know that's where we find that department and that department. That's where we do this and that. They are like father, mother in that place. You say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. What do you mean? What do you mean? I tell you that if you're going to succeed in this institution, there are people, it's not just lecturer, you must listen to us. Say, I'm sorry, I'm born again. Any born again people in the house today? Born again. Born again. I said born again. And then you say, I cannot do that. Then it's okay, go your way. And he'll be looking at you, rebellious, disobedient, you will not listen. We control even lecturers. And look at this small boy, look at this small girl, you will not listen to us. Okay, go your way. When your father and your mother, and when those people of power, of authority in that institution, when they forsake you, the Almighty God will take you up. Yeah. Is higher than them, is greater than them, and whatever they do, the Lord Himself will make sure that nothing hurts you from them, in Jesus' name. When my father and my mother forsake me, we must go beyond that. When my children forsake me. You know, sometimes, you know, the family has been going on jolly well, and then at your age, old in life, you came across the gospel, the saving gospel, and you say, this is the direction I'm going to follow for the rest of my life. And you quit the tradition of the people. Your children that you sent to school, your children that you raised up, they might come and say, Danny, what are we hearing? Where did you go to worship, last Sunday? What kind of new thing is this? We didn't know that at your old age, you'll be into something like this. And you, Daddy, you say, children, you know, Jesus is the only way. And Jesus is now my Savior. I'm not going to dabble into this or into that anymore. No more occultic power. No more idolatrous power. No more juju medicine. All I know now, God and Christ. And then the children will say, okay, you can go your way, and they abandon you. And they will not bring money, and they will not visit, and they will not call. You will not say, okay, I'm going to reconsider. My children are more important than Jesus, because they are the ones feeding me. And since they are more important than Jesus, I call them and say, my children, I get your message. I am sorry. You'll never do that. When my sons and my daughters forsake me, the Lord will take me up. God is able to take care of you, with or without them, with or without father and mother, with or without helper or supporter. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Look at Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15. Can a woman forget a sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget you. The Lord will not forget you. He will be with you. Till the very end of your life, it will carry you through. Look at Joshua chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 3. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before you. How long? How long? You know, there are people that, I'm a believer, when I was younger, I could run the race all alone in the strength, in the power of the Lord. But now, as a believer, you're growing older, and maybe your body is growing weaker, and it's like, I could run the race by myself those days, but now I don't think I can do that again. Yes, you can. I said, yes, you can. Because he says, all the days of your life, he says, there shall no man be able to stand before you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. The Lord will not forsake you. He will not fail you. All the days of your life, he will be with you. When in your life you find that you depend on him, on her, and you tell yourself, my life is ruined without him. My life is in shambles without her. And God sees that, all right, you've turned your eyes away from him. And now he is your mini God. And she is your present God. God will say, all right, let him, let her take care of you. I'm still here, but I want you to, you know, go ahead and trust the people that have not become your God. Then there'll be problems that will arise, that father and mother, brother and sister, uncle and nephew cannot solve. And then you have to run back to God and you say, Lord, I learned my lesson. Where I thought I'll get support and succor and help and upliftment, everything has failed. And God has said, God will say, I hope you've learned that lesson permanently. And then he will take you up again. Amen. and then you will never forsake him anymore. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. And then in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. All men forsook him, all helpers forsook him, but he said, notwithstanding, the God of heaven stood with me and strengthened me. He will strengthen you, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. A better amen. A confident amen. And now in verse 18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. We come to point number three now. Point number three, the good courage of prayerful, strengthened hearts. We're reading from Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. 12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Then in verse 13, I had fainted. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then in verse 14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart, which I say on the Lord. Three things we're looking at. Number one, walking with the Lord. Number two, waiting on the Lord. Number three, working for the Lord. Number one, walking with the Lord without faltering from his path. Number two, waiting on the Lord with faith in his promises. Number three, working for the Lord without the fear of principalities. Number one, walking with the Lord without faltering from his path. It tells us in Psalm 25, reading from verse 4, it says, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. And then in verse 5, it says, lead me in thy truth. Teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. He will do that in your life in Jesus' name. Look at verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, the meek will he teach his way. Verse 12, it tells us, what man is he that feareth the Lord without fearing man? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. And the Lord will help you in the way you will choose in Jesus' name. Psalm 119, I'm reading from verse 10. 119, we're reading from verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. We don't seek the Lord with half-heartedness, but our whole heart, our whole being, everything within us, we come to seek the way of the Lord. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. In verse 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. 130, 130, it says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple, for you to know where you will walk and the path you will tread, so that you'll get to the appointment, assignment, achievement of the Lord. The word of God will be the light in your pathway. We come to number two. Number two is waiting on the Lord of faith in his promises. In Psalm 27 verse 13, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then in verse 14, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, reading from verse 28. Isaiah 40, reading from verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. He'll give you power today. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. He will increase your strength. Then in verse 30, it says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. In verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord. There are people today, almost everybody in the world, Christians and non-Christians, they're too much in a hurry. They cannot wait on the Lord. Even it affects other areas of life. They cannot wait to get fresh fruit, fresh vegetable. Everything they eat is canned. They can everything with all the chemicals that preservation, and once they just warm, they eat and then they go their way. Everybody is in a hurry. They cannot wait and do good to themselves, and then it affects the Christian life, it affects the Christian professional, it affects the Christian minister. We cannot wait to gather food fresh, revelation fresh, inspiration fresh, instruction fresh from the Lord. But it says, but wait, they that wait upon the Lord. You wait in prayer. And there are times you have to add fasting, that you wait in fasting before the Lord. There are times you have to have a personal conference, and you take all the messages that have benefited your life, and you slug in one, you go to the YouTube, you discover this, and then for the whole day you lock up yourself, and you are reading, you are hearing, you are assimilating the word, and you're praying. You wait on the Lord. That's how we refresh ourselves, renew ourselves, and that's how we don't get tired, that we're moving from day to day, from event to event, and the strength of the Lord is still mighty in our lives. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall run and not be weary. Have you noticed sometimes you have the same two legs and the same hands and the same heart that those athletes have? But you see those athletes, they wake up in the morning and the first thing they want to jog, they want to run, and you see them on the sides of the, you know, of the street, and how they're exercising themselves. And you don't do that. You don't exercise yourself 10 minutes and 5 minutes or 15 minutes every day. And then when it it comes the time to run, you begin to run, it's like your heart is going to jump out of you. It's like you do not know what you are going to do, and you say, I'm here, God save my life. If that thing that is running after me gets me here, well, what can I do? It's when you do that every day. You take about 30 minutes every day and you wait upon the Lord, and you read his word, and you soak in his word, and you look at the promises, and you meditate on the promises, just 30 minutes, and then you're up to whatever you want to do. And when you come back in the evening, you look at the word again, and you study the word again, and you're waiting on the Lord. And television has to go aside, all the other media handles have to go aside, because now you're waiting on the Lord. It is when you do that every morning and every evening, and then during the day, anything that comes, you remember the promises of God that he had given you in the morning, and you are sending your SOS unto God every time. That's how you become strong. It is not just, you know, a one meal on one day of the whole week that keeps us strong. It is that daily waiting upon the Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You know, when we are not waiting upon the Lord, the wings of the eagle we had in our earlier years of the Christian life, the feathers have been plucked off. A little anger, one feather is gone. A little complaint, another feather is gone. And a little interaction with the people of the world, the feathers are gone. By the time the problem comes and you want to stretch your wings, all the feathers are gone. Even if you stretch the wings, there is no wing that will pull you through. But when you allow the Lord to renew that eagle and to refresh that eagle, and all the wings that have been plucked off, everything replaced today. And then you're full of strength and full of power and full of assurance and full of confidence, because you have waited upon the Lord. Then it says you will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. Somebody there, you will run. Maybe you put on the baton, you say, I'm tired, opposition too much, persecution too much, and the things I don't understand, they're too much. Let the younger people come, let them come and take their baton. I'm tired, I cannot run again. Today you will rise up. Yeah. You will run again, because it says they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You will stand. You will walk. You will run. Amen. You will mount up. Amen. And you will not be faint. Amen. I'm coming to the last point here, number three here. Walking for the Lord without fear of principalities. Look at that word, principalities. There's prince, the prince of the power of the air. There are ministers. There are people, professionals. They fear the prince of the power of the air. They might pray, they might fast, they might read the Bible, they might have good doctrine, but they fear the prince of the power of the air. Number two, look at that word, principalities. There's a word there, principle, principle, principle. There are groups and gangs that have their principles, and they come against a family, they come against a ministry, they come against a local church. And the principal, sometimes they will even write to the person, they'll say, we understand, we know that you are forceful, we know that you are powerful and mighty, and we hear everything you say as you're threatening anyone that will do this and this. And the principal of that gang will write to you and say, we're after you. We'll watch your movement. We know where you go. Anytime we want to get you, we're here. And he says he is the principal. But you know, we'll bring every principal down. Amen. That you'll not be running helter skelter after all. That principal, he wasn't born that way. He was a baby. He knew nothing. And then he was growing up, he came across a gang. And then he was learning and learning from that gang until they promoted him and he became their principal. He was born a baby, I was born a baby, and then born again, and I have the word of power, the word and the rod that divided the Red Sea, that I have, and the word that stopped the sun at the time of Joshua, that I have, and the word that destroyed 185,000 soldiers of the enemy camp just in one night, and I have that word, and I have the one that walked on the sea to get into the boat. I have his word, and I have the one that he entered into the boat, all the storm came to an end. And I have the one that dealt with Herod in Acts chapter 12, and he says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. If that principle of the dark society can develop to the point of coming to threaten you, me, principal of my ministry, I'm principal of my family, I'm principal of my church denomination, I'm principal of believers in God, I am here as principal, depending on a power greater than that principal, I'll bring them down. Yeah. In your life, in your ministry, wait upon the Lord, and the prince you overcome. Yeah. The principality, the principal you overcome. And now the principalities. They have a small throne there, a small throne there, a small throne there, and a small throne over there. And I say, who are you there? They say, who are principalities? I say, why are you sitting down there? They say, we're looking for anywhere good things are going on. We want to ruin and wreck and destroy. And then the Lord says, I will decree a thing, and it shall be established unto me, and that whatever I say, whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth will be loose in heaven. The principalities don't have the final say. The final say is in your mouth. Yeah. And as you look at them, then you say, I am walking with the Lord. And as you are walking with the Lord without any fear of prince of power and the principles and the principalities, you are an overcomer. Yeah. Any overcomer in the house today? Nay, in all these things, you. I'm talking about somebody there. You. Will be more than a conqueror. Now you will rise up and leave all your fears behind. Literally rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up, and leave all your fears behind. All the things that threatened you in the past, look at them now and say, they are gone. They are defeated. New power in your life today. New anointing in your life today. A new focus in your life today. Nothing will stop your onward journey. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Raise your voice to the Lord and say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Here I am. I have everything you have proclaimed in my life. It will bless you. It will lift you up. Taking the word, believe the word, understand that word is for you. If the God of your salvation, if the God of your strength, is the God your succor, Is the God your supplier? Is that God your sanctifier? Is the God your sufficiency, your sustainer, your shepherd? He'll see you through. With him, you cannot fail. With him, you cannot be defeated. With him, you cannot be submerged under the storm. He is your shepherd. He is your Lord. Don't go back. Don't look back. Don't succumb. Don't surrender your shield to the enemy. Don't faint. Get up and walk. Get up and run. Wait. Wait. Wait upon the Lord. He will strengthen your heart. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not fear. I will not fear. What man or woman can do unto me? Be an overcomer. Be a conqueror. In Jesus' name we pray. The Lord has answered your prayer. He has given you everything you have asked of. He is your Savior. He is your strength. He is your succor and support. He is your supplier. He is your sanctifier. He is your provider. He is your shepherd. He is all in your life. No idol. No other God. No principality or power. No prince of the power of the air. No principle of any kind will affect your life anymore. The hairs on your head are all numbered. No patch, even your nail, as insignificant as that is, will fall to the ground without the permission of the Lord. You are now raised up for success. You are raised up for achievement. You keep on focused and looking at that one thing that the Lord has raised you up for. Finance will not be a problem. Resources will not be a problem. The men and the women to help you will not be a problem. The angels that will carry you off so that you don't knock your foot upon a pebble, that will not be a problem. The sight and the brightness of the path you're walking in will not be a problem. Darkness will vanish out of your sight. Weakness will vanish out of your life. Your family will be fruitful. Barrenness, fruitlessness, cancelled in your life. Say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I receive. Raise up those hands, Father. In the name of Jesus, I come on behalf of all your sons and daughters, all the ministers, all the workers, all the professionals, everyone here, father, mother, and everyone. Lord, I pray in a literal way, pour heavens upon them in Jesus' name. Everything they had feared in the past, all that fear, all the fainting, all the threatening, Lord, cancel from their lives in Jesus' name. The weakness of the human nature, Lord, I pray that weakness take away from every life. New strength, new power, new anointing, new authority, new power in prayer. Grant to everyone in Jesus' name the anointing that breaks the yoke, the anointing that makes everyone to rise up and to walk and to run and not to faint. Lord, give everyone in Jesus' name. Abide with everyone. Support everyone. Lead everyone in the path they ought to go. And let this day mark a new beginning in every life. The Lord go with you. The Lord be with you. The Lord strengthen you. The Lord multiply you. The Lord support you every side. Before you. Behind you.
Amen.
Around you.
Amen.
Above you.
Amen.
Beneath you.
Amen.
The everlasting arms will carry you
through.
Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.